We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Lonzo and you. Be a part of the program at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number to be a part of the program. I want you to jump on board. A couple of news stories from around the country that we have not gotten to yet, but will right now. We learned yesterday that Lincoln Riley, the head coach of the Oklahoma Boomer Sooners, was apparently approached by the Philadelphia Eagles to become their next head coach. The Eagles let go of Doug Peterson, obviously, and they had one name that apparently was at the top of their wish list, and that was head coach Lincoln Riley. According to Paul Domovich of the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Eagles indeed offered the job to Lincoln Riley, but Riley said no, which is not overly surprising. The guy's only 37 years old, been at Oklahoma since 2015, took over as head coach in 2017, and has had an incredibly successful run at Oklahoma. He's got two Heisman Trophy quarterbacks under his belt in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. He put together a very explosive offense with Jalen Hurts, a guy that obviously went up to Philly and had some success towards the end of this year. And I'm assuming that that success is part of the reason why the Eagles decided to go in that direction. Unless Riley changes his mind, which is not unheard of. Remember, Chip Kelly did the same thing with Philly back in 2013. Chip Kelly was at Oregon. They gave him the call. He initially said no for a few weeks and then decided to call them back and said, hey, you know what? I will go ahead and take it. The Eagles are now taking a look at New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, Indy Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni, and running back coach Deuce Staley appear to be amongst the finalists for the job. No real shock, though, there, Lonzo. Lincoln Riley's got a really, really good thing going on at Oklahoma. He's one of the highest-paid coaches at the college level in the country. And if he's going to jump to the NFL, he's not going to jump to a team that's in the midst of enormous turmoil and turnover like the Eagles.
Or he may be looking like, I don't want to go where Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback again.
See, I would think the opposite, right? He had immense success
with Jalen Hurts. I'm just kidding. I think it comes down to the fact that what you were saying, he's been very, very successful. Why would you leave now when you're building a legacy there at a storied program, being able to put your name on the books among some of the greats from that college and among the greats of college football coaches, period? If he continues doing what he's doing, I think he wants to win a national championship. I think that may be more important to him.
We mentioned a little earlier that the University of Tennessee is finalizing a contract, which should be announced later today, to hire Danny White. Danny White has been the athletic director at the University of Central Florida since 2015. He was the one who not only brought in Scott Frost as the head coach, who again had immense success. Remember 2017, that UCF team went undefeated and beat a couple of very good teams in the path, but did not get invited to the college football playoffs that year. And so UCF claims joint 2017 national championship honors alongside the Alabama Crimson Tide, who did win the championship in the playoffs. That's a big time hire as far as I'm concerned. That guy has been an absolute jackpot picker down at UCF, and UCF folks thought he was going to be a lifer. down there. He had recently signed a big-time extension and raise, had just bought a house just a couple of months ago, bought a house down at UCF, around the campus of UCF, that he told media in the area was his family's dream house. Only 41 years old. The guy is young, but he has shown an incredible ability to adapt to the ever-fluid college football world. That's a big hire for the University of Tennessee. And why are we talking about it here on the show? Zoe, it's very simple. South Carolina optimism has not been as high as it is for Shane Beamer in a very, very long time, maybe since the first day that Steve Spurrier showed up on campus a number of years ago. This is a team in Tennessee that is in the same division. This is a team in Tennessee that South Carolina is going to have to face a lot. This is now an obstacle standing between Shane Beamer and the SEC Eastern Division Championship. Now, the good news is that, as we mentioned a couple of times, Tennessee is likely going to have some slaps on the wrist coming down sooner rather than later because of the violations that took place under Jeremy Pruitt that Tennessee fired him for.
You keep saying slaps on the wrist. I think it's going to be more than that. McDonald's bags full of money, that you need to be punished a little bit more harsh because of that. And I think there'll be a reduction of scholarships. I think they won't get to play in postseason. I think they're going to come down on them pretty hard.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think I'm just using slap in the wrist as more of a metaphor than a statement of what I think is going to happen. I absolutely think that Tennessee is going to get slammed by the NCAA. But if you're going to have a captain to weather that storm, I think that having Danny White from UCF is a good one. And like I said, it impacts the folks here in the upstate because this is now one more obstacle. Now, the good news here, Zoe, if there is any, is that Shane Beamer's probably, because of those regulations or those punishments that are coming down on Tennessee, Shane Beamer's going to have about a two-year start on whoever Danny White selects as a head coach. But Danny White has a history of selecting very, very good head coaches. He got Shane Beamer. He got Josh Heupel for the football team. UCF, certainly not what they were under their previous coach, Scott Frost, now at Nebraska. But they're not bad by any stretch of the imagination. He also hired their basketball and baseball coaches who have both done very, very well for UCF down there in the Tampa area. I fully expect that he will pull this trigger on a very good coach coming in. Like I said, good news for South Carolina. Shane Beamer's going to have about a two-year head start on the Tennessee Volunteers to build up something before Tennessee comes a call-in to compete with them, Florida, and Georgia for that SEC Eastern Division title. I guess if there's a silver lining, Alonzo, that'd be it.
Yeah, you know, I have some breaking news, and you probably have the thing in front of you, and I obviously you do, I don't. The Pittsburgh Steelers and quarterback Dwayne Haskins have now agreed to terms on a contract, according to Ian Rappaport.
Yep, saw that just a minute ago. Looks like the former Washington football team quarterback is going to be calling Pittsburgh home in the very near future.
Does that mean Big Ben is done?
I don't know if it means he's done, but I know it means it's on his way out, right? I think Big Ben might give it one more year just because the Steelers went 11-0. But I got to tell you, if I'm Pittsburgh, this is such a tough spot. We had a similar conversation about Drew Brees back on Monday about, you know, the time for Sean Payton to move on from Drew Brees would have been about three quarters of the way through the third quarter of that game against Tampa Bay when it was clear that Brees was just not ready and not healthy and not good to carry that team. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, after what Ben Roethlisberger has done for you there in Steeltown, how do you tell him that you're ready to move on, right? I mean, and look, they were 11-0, right? They were 11-0. They went on a losing streak. They snagged one more. They ended up hosting in the playoffs, but they got run out of their own building by the Cleveland Browns. And Big Ben threw for 500 yards in that game. That loss was not on Ben Roethlisberger. There were a handful of picks in there, but I think that team struggled more than just Big Ben. But so then I'll throw it at you, Zoe. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, you bring in Dwayne Haskins. A, is he ready to be a starting quarterback? Do you believe he learned his lesson with all that went down leading up to his release from the Washington football team? And B, if that's the case, do you tell Ben Roethlisberger you're ready to move on, or has he earned the right to move on when he's ready to?
Well, here's the easy thing for Tomlin to do. You sit Ben down and you go, Cleveland, I think you know it's time, Ben. That's all you got to say. And well, you saw the look on Roethlisberger's face. It's the same look that you saw on Drew Brees' face, the same you saw on Philip Rivers. These guys, they know they're done. It's just that Roethlisberger had talked about doing this last year. I think this is a sign that he's out of there. But Cleveland, man, Cleveland.
C-Town Browns, baby, it's Believeland. Don't you stop believing in the Cleveland Browns, because they're going to be better. They're going to be better next year. Remember, they did all that with an injured Odell Beckham Jr. Kevin Stefanski and Odell have talked a couple times in the last couple of days about him making his comeback next year, and they both seem pretty fired up about it. We're gonna keep that in mind, man.
We have more breaking news, by the way.
Fire away.
The Eagles have hired Colts OC Nick Sirianni as their new head coach.
All right, so there you go. We were just talking about that. Lincoln Riley has turned them down, but it looks like the Eagles have gotten their man. Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni is the new head coach per Ian Rapoport, Mike Garofalo, and Tom Pelissero. Rapoport is describing him as quote, a young, impressive head coach who received a strong recommendation from Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know. That's a question mark hire that I really don't know all that much about, to be honest with you, Alonzo. I know the Colts rushing game has been good, above average, not great the last couple of years, and that obviously is going to that is obviously going to play into why they made that decision ultimately. But look, I love when teams decide to go on young, vaunted coordinators. That's how you end up with a Sean Payton. And look, I know it's the exception, not the rule, but that's how you stumble onto dynasty coaches, right? You think about the dynasty coaches in the league, guys like Belichick, guys like Payton. Maybe Pete Carroll, but Pete Carroll was a question mark of a college coach when he came up from USC. When you think about dynasty coaches in the league, with the exception of Andy Reid, your coach there, Alonzo, in Kansas City, the majority of them were not retread coaches. The majority of them were coaches who came out of at least some level of obscurity. I think this is how you succeed. You find a guy that's young, that's hungry, that's excited. You find a guy who has not had the opportunity, but is also highly spoken of by the head coaches that he's coached around in the past, and this guy appears to fit that mold. Again, I don't know a ton about him, so I don't know his X's and O's and all that, but what I do know is that they are following the model that some of the dynasties in the NFL right now have followed by taking a young, unchallenged at the head coach position, coordinator-style guy, but a guy that is highly spoken of. Sean McVay is on that list. Sean Payton is on that list. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay is on that list. Guys in the playoffs right now, they all are cut from the same cloth. I like that hiring, Zoe.
We have one more bit of breaking news.
Listen to Zoe. He's like freaking Brian Williams over here.
You have been invited to bring your thing that you're going to make to eat tonight. Michael Stathakis has thrown that out on Twitter, an invite. You need to look that up. That's breaking news right there, because you can make your burger professionally. You won't have to do it on your stove.
I saw that.
That's got to be a tempting offer right there.
Our buddy Stathakis, who runs Stacks Originals, because not only,
you've got a guy who cooks for a living. You got a pro who can give you some tips on how to make that thing taste even better than what it would have if you made it yourself.
Stathakis said, because I said on Twitter that tonight I'm going to make the Cool Ranch Chips burger, and I'm going to take three patties. I'm going to lightly dust one with grinded up Cool Ranch Doritos seasoning. I'm going to make a second one with a moderate amount, and the third one I'm just going to lay into it with the seasoning into the ground beef. Stathakis said I can bring it to his restaurant tonight. He'll throw it on the grill and cook it professionally for me while making a Mountain Dew Code Red bacon. Or Code Red bacon jam to put on top of it. He also invited me to bring my own Milwaukee's Best to the original tonight. Stacks, I appreciate the invite, brother. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it. There's part of me that wants to take the challenge at home, and then there's part of me, though, that goes, there's one more idiot-proof step between me and a great burger. Let the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Stathakis, throw it on the grill for me. I got some thinking to do between now and dinner time.
I think that's your move right there. Now, since I don't drink and never have, is the Milwaukee's Best, is that a jab, or is that your alcohol of choice?
Oh, no, I'm not a Milwaukee's Best guy at all. My grandfather drank Milwaukee's Best, and twice in my life when I was a wee bit younger, twice in my life did I pop open a beer before I was legally allowed to. The first time I did, I was probably 10, 11 years old. And my old man and my mother saw me try to sneak a beer, and both of them were like, no, 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 no. Bring it to dinner, and you are drinking the entire beer. You're not getting up from that table until the entire beer is gone. And I don't know if you know, well, you don't know this, though. At 10 or 11 years old, beer is disgusting. It was the worst thing I'd ever had in my entire life, and I had to sit there and finish that beer. I don't think I drank beer again until I was like 21 years old in college. And that's not like me being funny. I mean, when I got to college, I was a liquor guy. I didn't drink beer because I remembered that. The other time it happened was a little bit later in my life. I want to say I was 16 or so, like a junior in high school. I guess it was a little bit before that, but somewhere around maybe early high school. I don't remember, but my grandfather was still alive. My grandfather drank Milwaukee's Best, the Beast. To fit in with him and my uncles, I grabbed one, and Bob Brown Sr., my namesake, my patriarch of that side of the family, was like, cool, man, you're having one of my beers, you're finishing the beer, and Milwaukee's Best, was not the best beer in the world, had to get through that one as well. So, no, I have turned into a beer fan since then, Lonzo. But I don't do cheap beer because of the Vietnam-style flashbacks to when my family made me finish them as a child.
So it was a jab. Okay, so we're yes. So we're clear. I got it now.
Yes. A couple of texts before we get out of here for the break and get Fight Club in the next segment at ESPN. Doritos overdose. Yeah, we're going to be going big time on the Doritos is going to see a sharp rise in their stock prices after the next couple of weeks. At ESPN from our buddy Panda, he said, speaking of Doritos, check out Charlie Gibson's Doritos casserole recipe. It slaps harder than a Nature Boy chop. Woo! Doritos casserole, Diesel, or Alonzo, sorry, I got a text about Diesel coming up. Doritos casserole, though, are you in?
I can tell you that I would definitely be in, and Diesel absolutely would not.
Rob, I am way more prone to watching Stoner Cooking with Sober Rob than Fishing and Not Catching with Diesel. ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening right now, I will let you address that text on your own coming up in 40 minutes when Offsides with Mark Ryan and Diesel takes to the airwaves. Diesel, I didn't say those words. A texter did. At ESPN, breaking news. I have been trying to reach you about your car warranty. Please contact us. Quick break. When we come back, we're talking combat sports. Lonzo. Fight Club, that's next on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome into the Fight Club, the one place where I put so much energy into one segment that I need a nap afterwards. And I probably will today because there's so much to talk about, including, you just heard, that guy right there who will not apologize to anyone, Conor McGregor, back in the octagon Saturday night for UFC 257. It's just been so long since Conor's fought, and this will be his first time fighting on Fight Island, and they did something, Rob, that they needed to do. It will not be on in the middle of the day, which means the main card for UFC 257 starts at 10 o'clock, which means it would be like 5 a.m.
I was going to say, that's like dangerously close to Insomniac territory in Abu Dhabi.
It will be 5 or 6 a.m. by the time Conor fights Dustin Poirier. We saw this like the first time they did a pay-per-view there, and I was surprised that they decided to do it again. So it's got to be hard on the fighters. You got to believe that has to affect them, fighting that late at night. Even if you've been over there for a little while and tried to adjust, and some of those guys, they're not going to fly in until like a couple of days before. So there's no way you can adjust that quick to having to fight in the middle of the night. Now I know this isn't fighting, but if you were asked, hey, man, it's 5 a.m., I need you to come in and do a show right now and have all the energy that you need to have. And I believe you said you've done a morning show before.
Yes, for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, I was completely nocturnal. Like I was awake during the day for about a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm the wrong person to ask about that ability.
Well, I did that for 14 years. So, but what I'm saying is you do your usual night and you get a call in the middle of the night going, hey, by the way, like 3 hours from now, we need you to come in and do a show. It's going to be hard to get that same kind of energy. I just don't know how they adjust. But these guys, they're already in such great shape. This card, one thing, looking at this card, there are a lot of women's fights on here, and I think they've been lacking for a while. The names that pop out, aside from Conor and Dustin, we'll get that in a second, is Joanne Calderwood going up against Jessica Eide. That's two big names right there. Amanda Ribas versus Marina Rodriguez. You got Sarah McMahon, who's a name from the past, going up against Juliana Pena. I never can say that right. I don't know. Is it Pena or
is
it Pena?
In this case, it's Pena. It's Pena, okay. If there's a little squiggly mark over it.
Yeah, which, you know, I know a guy who would know exactly what that's called, but he's not in the building right now. So this fight looks really, really good. And here's the thing with Conor McGregor fights. Even when he's fighting Floyd Mayweather, I buy the fight. I just do. There might have been times where I may have watched fights without purchasing said fights, possibly, maybe. But for a Conor fight, I'm putting the money down because I want to see it. And I'm one of those rare people who my wife and my daughter, my entire family are into sports and definitely into UFC. So even when there are cards that I'm like, eh, I don't really care about, they just go ahead and buy it anyway. And they will watch it without me. So that makes it a lot more fun to watch in that kind of atmosphere. But I have a question. When you think of UFC, what are the first names that come to mind?
I mean, I hate to say McGregor, but McGregor does. You know, I go old school, and this is just – I'm probably, again, the wrong guy to ask, but, like, Chuck Liddell was always my favorite. I like sluggers, man.
I was thinking of this one, the first names other than Conor McGregor. Of course, Cormier, who's my favorite fighter of all time.
Sure. DC, New Orleans boy, by the way.
Yeah, Tank Abbott.
Okay, good name.
Yeah, Tank Abbott just pops out there. And, I mean, there's been so many Royce Gracie. There's so many, I mean, from the original stuff that I wasn't really into, but one of my buddies that I did a show with for a long time was big time in the UFC, could quote everybody, and he got me into watching, went to some live stuff, and then I really got hooked. And so, I mean, but Conor McGregor, is he not still the face of the UFC?
I mean, he is, and oh God, this is. See, we've had this conversation before. This is where you kind of lose me because
whether he should be or not.
Oh no! I have no problem with him being the face. I mean, he certainly owned it and earned it, whether you like it or not. I mean, it's one thing to talk smack; it's another thing to talk smack and go finish fights. And McGregor's known for that. So I don't like Conor McGregor. He's just too over the top for me. He's too WWE for me.
Which is so weird coming from you.
It really is. I know that. Like it absolutely is. Cause I love smack talkers and trash talkers. I love the professional wrestling angle of things. So it would seem like Conor McGregor would be the guy I love, but he's just too much.
You're also a boxing guy. So you think you would appreciate what Conor does. And win or lose, he gets in there and he backs it up, and it's going to be an entertaining fight.
See, but I'm kind of the same way in boxing, though, right? Like, I can't stand Floyd Mayweather. Probably the only guy that was ever really considered a showman that I liked was Roy Jones, and I started off with a bias because he's from Pensacola. But the thing with Roy was Roy put on a show in the ring during a fight. Press conferences and all that, Roy showed up and he went to work. And that's why I've always kind of liked him. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. And that, by the way, real quick, one more name from the past. You know who the guy that really got me into UFC was? Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
Was one of my favorites when I was in college.
So I'm coming to a conclusion here that if you were alive like I was back in the day when one Muhammad Ali was on top of everything, you wouldn't have liked him.
I don't know, man. Like, it's a hard thing because obviously I love him. Hell, Mike Tyson in his prime. I was a huge Mike Tyson guy. I don't know. Here's the thing, Zoe. I can't tell you why. There are some guys that are smack talkers and showmen that I really like, and there are other ones that I dislike. I can't tell you what it is that flips the script and makes me like guys for reasons that I hate other guys for the same reasons. But McGregor just like he's just too much for me. I mean, it's one thing to talk a little smack. It's another thing to be flat out disrespectful. And I guess that's what it is. It's just that he's just disrespectful. I don't know. I really don't know. I should, but I don't, Lonzo.
Well, I don't get it because I love the over the top. Especially, I don't like over the top when you can't back it up. But Conor McGregor can, and he loses and he gets back up. And I know he's been in lots of problems out of the octagon, including punching that dude in the pub.
I think maybe that's it. Maybe it's less the smack talking and the one-up, constant one-upsmanship. Maybe it's the fact that just away from the octagon, he seems to be a loser. I mean, you know, you punched an old man. You are the top MMA fighter in the world, and you're punching 65-year-old men at a bar for what? Come on, man. Like, that's where you lose me.
You know, I shouldn't think that's funny, but I just thought that was funny because the guy just went back to his, it's like, really? Is that all you got?
And yeah,
he just went back to his drink.
He took it with an iron jaw. He really did.
You know, every depiction of those kind of guys in every single movie or TV show, it must be real. After watching what that guy's just like, yeah, whatever, man. Let me go back to nursing this thing.
By the way, and I know you're going to get there, but I can't help but ask now, Conor called for a 60-second knockout against Poirier.
Well, he did it in, from what I read, and not because I remember it, I read it, he did it in 2 minutes last time. Why not call for it?
Yeah, he said, I like Dustin. I think he's a good fighter. He's even a great fighter, but great is still levels below me. I'll knock Dustin out inside of 60 seconds.
I wonder what the percentage is of how many times he's right when he makes these predictions.
Because he's called knockouts before.
Yeah, he makes these. That's one of the things he does, and he's either successful or not. It's like making when you make a prediction, you're either right or you're not. And the fact that I believe he's more right more times than he's not, and you're betting on yourself. I mean, that means you have the absolute confidence in yourself. All right. All the rest of the card aside, this is the fight that everybody wants to see, and it's more so, I don't care the opponent. I'm there to watch Conor fight, whoever he's fighting, and 60 seconds, I don't think he gets it done. I think he beats Poirier. I think he probably will knock him out in the first round like he did last time, but I don't think he does it in 60 seconds because he's getting older, and if you're Poirier, don't you just kind of dance for like 61 seconds?
No, I'm taking him to the ground as quick as I can. I don't want McGregor standing up. I want him on the ground, and I want him on the ground fast. If I'm Poirier, I'm coming out the gate going for the legs. And I know you gotta wade through those first 60 seconds to make sure, because Conor's coming out swinging for KOs now that he's called the shot, right? I want to weather those first 60 seconds, and then I'm looking for a double leg takedown the second I can find an opening. You got to be careful not to get caught by the old puncher's chance, but if I can get McGregor on the ground, I am much more confident in my ability to win this fight.
Well, the odds, and I still, no matter how many times people explain this to me, I don't get odds, probably because I don't bet. If I did and was actually winning or losing money, I probably would care more, but the odds is McGregor minus 300. That's pretty good, right?
That's a three. He's a 3-1 favor. That means okay. In order to if he's minus 300, that means that in order to win $100, you have to bet $300. So he's a 3-1 favorite in this fight, which is, I don't know, unsurprising. I guess I don't know. Poirier is a much better, to me, he's a much better fighter. He's a more tactically sound fighter than he was the first time these guys got together. Problem is, it was 6 years ago. I mean, he's also aged. So is McGregor. I mean, as you know, both of these guys have gotten there. But for the long haul and the stamina game that I ultimately think that Poirier is going to have to grow to play, that 6 years hurts him more than the 6 years hurt Conor McGregor. I look, I like McGregor in the fight, but I'm not going to be shocked if Poirier takes him to the limit.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on to wrestling real quick as we're running out of time in the segment. I have to say that I would like to spend some time on the Alexis Playground. But the question is, and this has been brought up, I've seen this trending a little bit, is WWE going too far with the fire? And I can't believe this is being brought up because I'm just going to answer this. No, they're not, because they've been using fire forever. And these guys are pretty good with it. And the fact, I mean, if you've ever been to a match live when Kane comes out, and even though you're sitting like, I don't know, 10 rows up, and you feel the heat of the fire whenever he raises his hands and the ring is on fire, they use fire all the time. They use it very effectively. So do you think that they're going overboard with The Fiend being caught on fire and with Alexa shooting the firebomb at Randy Orton's face? By the way, the makeup on Randy Orton, really good. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, it was. The answer to me is yes, but not for the reason that you think it is. The answer to me is yes, and here's why. I am on board with the theatrics, right? Like, if there's no fans in attendance, yeah, let's go full out theatrics. Let's make a move. The problem I have is that the further they lean into it, when we do get fans back and you go back to having to be full live for 3 hours, if you've become a full on campy B horror movie at that point, my fear becomes that it's going to be a bit of a shock to go back to traditional wrestling. It's going to be a bit of a shock to go back to not being able to cut away for those scripted movie style segments. I don't hate the story they're telling with Alexa Bliss and The Fiend and Randy Orton right now. I think it's a great one. I think it's given Orton a motivation to kind of fall back into that classic psychopath with no empathy character that is his best character overall. I just don't want him to lean so far into the overproduced pre-taped stuff that when we are allowed to go back to shows live, that it becomes a culture shock. Because you're going, wait a minute, you guys were lighting each other on fire a few weeks ago, and now, you know, now it's just old school wrestling, which again, I'm fine with. I just hope they're careful about the way that they approach it.
All right, a couple more things real quick without being too spoilery, because, you know, some of you may not have watched it yet. Last night on NXT, best match was Timothy Thatcher versus Tommaso Ciampa in the pit. And the way that thing is designed, I really like it. It's really cool. It was a good match. I don't like Thatcher because I really think he needs to get his teeth fixed. And it bothers me.
That's your reason.
I'm giving you a reason. It annoys me. Dude is making money. I mean, get veneers, get something. I mean, put something in.
Rob, I don't know why you don't like McGregor because he punches old men, but I hate this guy because he's got bad teeth.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page.
All right, so that was the best match. AEW, the best. There were two. Best match, Penelope Ford versus Layla Hirsch. And the reason why is we get our first glimpse of Charles Taylor as basically Miro's butler.
I love that they call him Charles now,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, that's great.
And then I don't know if you saw it, but Orange Cassidy earlier today tweeted out just a broken heart emoji. I don't know why I'm into that story as much as I am. First off, because Miro is phenomenal. Second off, I love Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends. I'm all in on that angle. I cannot wait for Cassidy to save Chuck Taylor from Miro.
And there's a nice cut in there at the WWE and Miro's wife.
Yes, there was.
All right,
I caught that too.
The last thing, Inner Circle against each other was the best match by far of the entire night. But there's one guy that doesn't look very good amidst all those guys who are wrestling, and that would be one Chris Jericho. He looks fat and he looks slow.
Oh, that lion tamer, that lion salt, that he hit off of the ropes was like, oh, if he didn't put his hands down to save himself, that would have been Botchamania, whatever edition they're on now.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. He needs to hit the gym and maybe stay off the stage for a while.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think he's been rocking a little hard with Fozzy. He did not look great in that match, I agree. But then again, I mean, he was surrounded. MJF is the best heel in the game right now. Sammy's so athletic, versatile. Jake Hager is just an absolute brute. Ortiz and Santana don't get credit for the tag team that they are. They are phenomenally good together. He was in there with a bunch of guys that are designed to outshine him. All right, that's it for Fight Club. We come back in a minute. The cleanup spot. We run through all the texts you guys have sent today, and then we wrap it up with Twitter Trending Topics on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Nah, it's all good. We both did it. We both stepped all over that intro. That's all good. We hadn't done this one in a while. The cleanup spot, we go back and look through all the texts and tweets you guys sent throughout the day and clean them up on the way out the door. A couple of texts that have come in at ESPN. So, Rob, how were the spicy sweet chili Doritos? I haven't had them yet. I'm having them tonight. I'm also making the Doritos Cool Ranch Burger tonight, so I'll have a full review on that tomorrow. At ESPN, and of course I close the text out as soon as I get it. Anyway, the text said a 5'5", 125-round rent-a-cop is going to stop a 6'8", 250-pound guy from shaking hands. Okay, no, you just say, dude, if you cross this line, we're going to have a problem between you and the NBA, and then the NBA has to enforce it. Well, I think the Players Association would be okay with it. We now just had another NBA game canceled. That is the fourth Grizzlies game. Memphis Grizzlies get their game postponed tonight because of COVID issues. Fourth in a row, dangerously close to getting to the point where the season is going to genuinely be questioned. So I think it is important to make that happen. At ESPN for the ratings for college football. Do they add all the stations, or do they add all the stations it was on? It was on ESPN, but also 5 to 6 other ESPNs. Yes, the answer is yes. They put all of those together to count their total rankings, and they still got smoked by the NBA. We talked about that earlier in the hour. Deshaun Watson can demand whatever he wants. He won't get it. The Texans hold the power. He inked the contract. If they do move him, they'll get a king's ransom and will win a Super Bowl within 4 years of moving him, similar to what the Cowboys did with Herschel Walker. They will get an enormous haul if they move Deshaun Watson. Problem is, the exact reason that Deshaun wants out is the reason that it won't happen. They won't get it because they don't know how to manage personnel. That's been the big problem. That is why Deshaun wants out in the first place. One of two big reasons. I don't trust Houston. That's why Deshaun wants to go. And let's see. I think we had one more I wanted to get here in the cleanup spot before we get out of here. At ESPN, Rob, I am way more prone to watching Stoner Cooking with Rob than Fishing and Not Catching with Diesel. I'm reading that again so that Diesel can hear it and address it on Offsides coming up in just a few minutes. At ESPN, the Fight Club intro might be the best intro I've heard. Well done, Lonzo. Accolades deservedly coming from the listeners.
I've done intros for 20 years here, and it is my favorite. It absolutely is.
At ESPN, y'all should have Wonder Boy guest host the fight segment once. Yeah, Zoe and I were talking about that during the break, as a matter of fact. I am going to see if I can reach out today and get in touch with Wonder Boy and get him on the show. At ESPN, for the love of all that's holy, can we do an EA Sports segment instead of the wrestling segment? I'll play you in Cold War for it. Yeah, if you just want me to talk about how bad I am at video games, we can happily do it. And finally, at ESPN, Fat Guy Radio, brought to you by Doritos, Duke's Mayo, and Wrestling. Coming in the next segment, what's your favorite crayon color? All right, that's just insulting. I mean, it was accurate up until halfway through, but it's insulting. That's going to do it. Twitter Trending Topics, abbreviated version, coming up next. Rob, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate.
All right, it's time for Twitter Trending Topics, where I give Rob Brown a topic that's trending on social media, and he will tell you what he knows about it. First up, you can get a rare look at Uranus between Mars and the moon tonight.
I suspect that's not the words that are trending on Twitter, correct?
No, that is read exactly line for line from the Thrillist page.
Yes, the Thrillist page tonight. I actually saw that earlier. You will need telescopes or binoculars to make it happen. But if you do look this evening, it'll be one of the easiest opportunities you'll have to be able to spot Uranus in space. Which brings me to an unrelated story. I don't know if you saw this one yesterday, Lonzo. Paleontologists were digging a dinosaur fossil the other day, and they have found the most complete and perfectly preserved dinosaur rectum that we have found to date. We now have the most accurate representation of a dinosaur back door that we have ever had in paleontological history. It gives us insight on the, shall we say, finishing move of the digestive tract of the animal, as well as some of its mating habits. Jurassic Park fans, the next one's going to be weird.
So all I can think of is Bootysaurus. And I can't get it out of my head.
That's going to do it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Offsides with Mark Ryan and Diesel is coming up right now. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down and giving you predictions on our NFC and AFC championship games tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!